Tonight, we learn more about the Better Boys Foundation, share drinks with Glenn from Fallstrom's Fresh Fish Market, and of course, play What's in the Box before Rob Martier provides our weekend windup. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, it is a hectic day today. I was stuck in a lot of that traffic without traffic lights. Actually, there were downed wires in Jefferson Park. There were trees down. I don't know how many of you got stuck in that, but give us a call, 312-981-7200. Tell us about the windstorm, because I would like to call it something else, but the FCC won't let us. And also, it's, you know, the tone and quality of the show. I can't call it the kind of storm that it really felt like. But there was a lot of chaos, a lot of traffic lights that were out, a lot of confusion as to how you are supposed to function at an intersection that has no traffic lights working.
I was expecting to be flown to the Wizard of Oz. Like, that's what I thought was happening.
Well, hopefully our listeners are home and safe today. And I know that there must have been some scary moments for some people. But give us a call, 312-981-7200, and tell us a little bit about the chaos you encountered. Rob Martier, on your journey today, did you experience any of the...
I did indeed. Fortunately, traffic-wise, I was okay, but I went to put gas in the car. Ugh. And as I was standing out there just, again, filling up the tank, a big gust came by, and that's about as intense as I've ever felt it. It was pretty neat at times, but a little scary when that gust came. I mean, yeah. It's some 240 pounds, and that thing just blew me off my feet.
It was startling, and Annabelle Aval from WGN Morning News posted footage of skyscrapers swaying. She lives in a high-rise, and she took video of the building across from her swaying.
Well, I played a clip of a woman named Melissa, who also happens to be my wife. She works at 300 South Wacker, and she's in a 36-story building. Mm-hmm. And it's fairly exposed because it's the last building right before Congress. So she was up on the 33rd floor, which is where her office is, and the water in the toilets were sloshing around.
What?
The building was moving back and forth. Uh-huh. Doors
was
were
she getting queasy? Because they said people were getting queasy.
A lot of people were, yeah. A lot of people were.
Yeah, that's very scary. At what point do you just go, you know what, now's a good time to go? I think I'm just going to go home.
Well, now. She works at a law firm, so if you're not there, you're not billing.
If you're not putting your life in danger, you're not
those
billing.
Heartless lawyers.
Oh. Yes, Craig?
You can't bill from afar, Rob. You can't, like, work from home.
You can totally bill from afar.
Yeah. I would definitely not stay in a building if it was swaying, especially if I'm seeing other buildings across from me moving. That's a go home. That's a go work on the first floor.
You've fulfilled your obligation.
Yep, I have been here long enough.
What a credit to our engineers, huh? Yes. Keeping those buildings standing upright.
Oh, well.
Way to go.
I know, I was thinking about that. I drove by a Dunkin' Donuts that had a big balloon display up, and there was like just piles of garbage from all the debris that had been blowing up and down the street. This balloon arch was still there. I'm like, I want to know who did. I have a picture of it, Craig. I have to show you. Like, maybe a few balloons were missing, but during the windstorm, the balloon arch in front of the Dunkin' Donuts on Lake Avenue near the L platform survived.
I hope that's a guy that just plans on a windstorm all the time.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to see the picture of the Marathon gas station? It was the canopy that goes over the pumps. The wind was so strong that it literally just blew it over, but it wasn't like it destroyed it. It just toppled it over, and it was perfectly intact. It was almost like you could pick it back up if you could and then put it back in its moorings.
Wow.
Just right over.
Right I'm over. Looking at this photo right now. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. The marathon?
Yeah. No, this would also be panic mode if this happened while you were under there.
Yeah, it was a scary day. There's a street in Jefferson Park called Lips that I didn't know that was the name of the street. I just always take it as my shortcut to the Kennedy. I kind of zigzag behind Jefferson Park and weave my way to, I like taking frontage roads too. There's a street that runs parallel to the Metro tracks and along the Kennedy. I don't know the name of that street either, but had there been downed wires, I probably would know the name of that street too. I know Lips because I had to call 911 and say there are electrical wires down at Lips and Lawrence.
Lips and Lawrence.
Lips and Lawrence. L-I-P-P-S. Lips and Lawrence. It's where the Copernicus Center is.
Okay.
On the far northwest side of Chicago. That's my first downed wires call I've ever made.
What do they say when you do that?
Oh, we will send someone right away. But I believe there were over 900 down wire calls today. That was what I last heard. I don't know how many of those were repeat calls. I don't know how many people in front of me were also.
Does she give you the same or he give you the same level of excitement when you first like, oh, we're going to go right out there?
It seemed as though it was par for the course.
Okay.
Yes. And there was a tree blocking an entire street in our neighborhood. I wonder which neighborhoods were hardest hit. We don't have any information on that, do we, Rob? As to which neighborhoods?
Perhaps? No, I mean, we can, let me get the outage map pulled up here. We can certainly break it down. Cook County, obviously the hardest hit.
Okay.
At one point in time, about 250, give or take, 1,000 customers without power in the service area.
Right.
And ComEd's actually done, I've got to commend them, they've done a pretty good job of getting people back online.
In Jefferson Park, our electricity definitely flickered on and off, and that was it. I was at the BBF Family Services in North Lawndale, our guests that are coming into the studio just a moment, and we were in the offices, and the power just went out, and that was that for just a few minutes, and then it just kicked right back in. So I don't know if it was kind of a hiccup in the service, but you know, the wind gusts were mighty today. So I hope that everyone again is safe. There were windows that were breaking on was it Wacker, I believe. There was also some construction sites where they were worried. Some of those cranes were
at 150 North Riverside. There is a building going up there. It's going to be a high rise. There were 7 construction workers that were trapped there for quite a long time. Now, they were okay where they were in the building.
But
the problem was they couldn't get down.
Right, because it's exposed. I'm guessing there's an elevator
to
elevator, get them.
Yeah, because it's an exterior exposure. So,
Craig, can you imagine just being up there? Any minute now, the wind's going to...
And I feel like we were all looking forward to today because we've seen that 60 all week. Everyone saying that it was going to be 60 degrees today.
No frolicking.
Just a light breeze.
It really affected our frolicking.
It did. No frolicking today.
I hope you frolicked anyway. Did you frolic in the debris? More after this on 720 WGN. We are going to meet with our friends Rufus and Dominique from the BBF Family Services in North Lawndale. 720 WGN. Tomorrow night, I have the distinct honor and pleasure of emceeing the Afterburn, which is going to follow the huge gala. It's called SACT, the Roast of Richard Dent, which is a benefit, BBF Family Services. And joining me in studio is Rufus Williams, who is the CEO of BBF, and Dominique Stewart, who is a development manager. And I got a chance to tour your wonderful facility today. Thank you so much for having me, both of you. Dominique, how often do you give tours? Because you're very laid back. You're like, this is where our kids come to be safe, to be nurtured, and to reach their potential as Chicagoans.
That's funny. I think I've given 5 tours, but my background is in hospitality and tourism management. So I'm just used to always laying out the red carpet.
It was a lovely tour, and you really do have a beautiful facility. Congratulations, Mr. Williams, for really just a great, it seems like a lot of people who are happy to be there to help, to provide an environment that is enriching to so many people.
That is exactly the kind of environment we're trying to provide. It's actually the work that we do is such that it should be an exciting place. It should be a comfortable place. And what I really try to do is, and the mantra is to try to create this kind of an atmosphere where you want to get a speeding ticket trying to get to work.
Yes.
It's just a great place and good work and good people and important stuff. So I think we have a great team. Dominique is certainly... A wonderful symbol of that. And the work that we do for the people that we do is just so important and so necessary that you've got to have the right attitude to do it.
Dominique, you were trying so hard to invite those kids over to take a selfie.
I was.
Craig, I invited them over because they were taking selfies over by the fence. And those are the kids I went to because they were already taking selfies. I'm like, let me show you how to take a selfie. And I was showing them the claw. And one of the girls goes, no, that's how I do it. She had the exact same hole. Yeah, she already knew how to do it.
I thought you invented that.
No, and my niece showed me how to do it, so that seems appropriate.
This makes sense.
But her friends are like, how do you do it? But she was the first person I've ever seen that goes, no, that's how I do it.
She clawed you.
She clawed me.
Wow.
It was fantastic. It's a really sweet playground, too. Yes,
it is. We actually had a company come out with Chicago Cares last year and kind of rebuild it because it was the playground we had. The building was built in 2007.
Right.
So what was good in 2007 isn't quite as good in 2015.
Did you have mulch? A lot of playgrounds had mulch.
We did have some mulch.
Yeah,
what we're looking for now, though, what I really love to have is a sport court.
Yes.
So where we've got some gravel, just to have a sport court, because they play basketball.
They have that little corner by the wall. Those 3 little boys are playing basketball. Well, actually, little. It was like small, medium, and large.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
And the little guy, I was like, holding. foul. And he was like, yep, that's right. And he got the ball. He was holding the middle-sized kid by the waist, and he grabbed the ball away from him. Yeah, but you have that little strip right there and a low net. So, yeah, you need a full court, at least a half court.
Well, that strip actually was not ever designed for basketball.
Well, they made it a basketball court.
And
where there's a will, there's a basketball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or, yes. Yeah, so where there's a city that once had Michael Jordan, there's
That's
basketball.
That's right. Well, and you have a very close relationship, though, to the Chicago Bears. Tell us a little bit about that relationship.
So what we have done over the years, we've raised money to do innovative programs in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to develop a great relationship with the NFL Players Association. And we used to have what we call the world's largest autograph party, where we brought in all the top players from the NFL
right.
into the city to raise money for BBF. In order to do that, in order to get sponsors and everybody available, the Bears were very helpful because we do it. We raise the money locally, but we bring people in from all over. So back during that time, we just developed a great relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to be for me when I got really, really involved in BBF in a previous life, around 1984. And so the 1985 Bears coming through.
Look out.
The timing was just great.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just maintained some good relationships with them personally over the years, even though we stopped doing the Mackey Awards banquet back in 1997. And I left BBF for a number of years
mm-hmm.
before coming back. So when we come back now and kind of recreate all of that, the first person that I talked to about doing our fundraiser just happened to be Richard
right.
Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard had just, Richard went speeding one day up the Edens, and there was a mugshot.
Right.
And so because we are relentless as friends, all of the snarping began mm-hmm. and all the text messages, and it just seemed, when we were thinking about what to do, Richard seemed like an ideal person to roast.
Now, did he ever mention what he was in a hurry for? Or just he had that kind of car that could do that?
Well, I don't want to say, but, someone tweeted that it was the oddest thing is to get stopped on the Edens because you fly up and down the Edens all of the time.
Well, I never see anybody get pulled over, but Richard Dent managed to get that done.
Richard lives kind of far out, too. So if you're in the city, people, certainly not Richard, but other people probably drive fast up the Edens all the time.
Right.
That far.
Maybe the cop just wanted a better look at his car and to meet Richard Dent.
Could be, because Richard really likes cars. And
yeah.
He did get to meet him. And, Richard, it wasn't DUI. He was just driving really
fast. I like the Rufus. That's like, it wasn't a DUI. Just so we're all clear on that.
Yeah.
And everybody can actually come and see the roast tomorrow. We are going to be at Revel on Fulton Market. This is going to be 1215 West Fulton Market. That's here in Chicago. You can go to bbffamilieservices.org. And on the homepage, you'll see SACT, the roast of Richard Dent. Our very own Steve Cochran is emceeing the event, as well as, I believe, somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, Steve is hosting. Steve's going to bring it in and get it all set up. And then he's going to turn it over to Mike Wilbon of ESPN, who's going to emcee the rest of the event.
Am I saying that right? Dun, dun, dun. That seems like the ESPN.
That's close enough.
I think Steve's going to do that all night. I will be there as well for the roast. And then starting afterwards around 10:30 is Afterburn at the same event right there. So the VIP sort of after party will begin. And we are going to read all the, since they're roasting him earlier in the evening. So those of you who wanted to maybe participate can tweet at us. And we'll be reading the mean tweets to Richard Dent at 10:30.
Exactly. Which should be fun. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dominique.
Yeah, they should use the hashtag BBF Sax Dent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we'll follow along with them.
BBF Sax Dent. Hashtag BBF Sax Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And send your tweets to us. And you can also, tag me at Patty Vasquez, CHI. And we will have, we'll collect some of those and read a sampling to him. Kind of a la Jimmy Fallon, only he won't. Is it Jimmy Fallon that does that? Jimmy Kimmel does
Jimmy
that.
Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm.
I work during
one of the Jimmys.
I'm working during that show.
Just say so, Jimmy.
One of those guys.
Jimmy, yeah. I'm doing this thing while he's doing that thing. So we're going to read those to him. And there's also going to be some more drinking and dancing
afterwards. There's a celebrity DJ. There's dancing. There's lots of fun. And the players will be there. So mm-hmm. come on out.
The fridge. There's
going to be drinking?
There is going to be some, yes.
Is that against your policy, your Saturday night policy?
Well, 21 actually, and older.
When Richard and the fridge were here yesterday,
mm-hmm.
What Richard continued to lead with was open bar.
There'll be an open bar. So go to bbffamilieservices.org for information on tickets. And we will, again, be at Revel on Fulton Market. And it's going to be me, Cochran, Richard Dent, The Fridge,
Steve McMichael, Dan Hampton, Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson.
I didn't know Marcus Allen was going to be there. I'm sorry. Steinberg. No, I'm excited for everybody else.
All of a sudden, her ears perked up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she did stop there. Those other guys are nice. Marcus Allen?
That's all right. I already dated a bear. Van Horn's not going to be there? That would be weird. That would be awkward if Keith Van Horn were there. I should have sent him an invite.
You know, I think somebody reached out to him, so you never know.
You know what would be fun is if he doesn't even remember me.
Patty Who, but you are on the mic, so you could say.
Got all the power.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember you. I was telling this story the other night. He was in the middle of a dispute with another radio station. So I was trying to cheer him up. We were on a date, and it was our last date because he turned to me and he goes, "Do you ever shut up?" That was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now we're so grateful that you're talking as much as you do. Worked out.
Yeah, that would be cause for a last date for a lot of reasons.
I don't even know. I don't even think it was my choice. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Dominique Stewart, who is a development manager at BBF Family Services, and Russ Williams, who is the CEO, and I'm teaching them how to do the claw for the selfies. We just worked on that, because Rufus, your son, says that you always look surprised in your own selfies.
He says that seems like if you're taking a selfie, you should know when you're going to press the button.
Yes.
And I always look surprised in my pictures.
I think because you're thinking.
It's not just that, actually. It's because some of us, it's difficult to hit the button. So, like, when we actually get it, we're like, yeah, it's excitement.
Got it!
Yes!
I did it!
Actually, I didn't want to admit that, but that is, in fact, the fact.
I'm so surprised that I've accomplished this.
I spent all this time trying to press the button. I can't figure out how to press the button.
But now he's got it down. He's got the technique.
I've got to go home and practice. I'll have 1,000 selfies in the morning.
You have no idea how many pictures I have on my phone. Rob Martier likes to watch me and laugh at how many selfies I take. Rob, like to, right? Rob, you just sit there and watch me take selfie after selfie.
We need an intervention with your pinning.
It's just too much. I'm just like, my chin's too big here, and I have a double chin here.
So it's a hi, I'm Patty, and I'm a selfie-aholic.
We call them selfish selfies because I keep taking them until I look good.
Right? She has a second phone for selfies because the one phone is full if she takes selfies on that one.
This one's also got a better camera.
Uh-huh.
It's got a better filter for my selfies. Our friends from BBF Family Services are hosting a wonderful event called SACT, and it's the roast of Chicago Super Bowl Hall of Famer Richard Dent.
He's a champion. It is. It's going to be off the chain.
Craig, I don't know if I want to say this in front of my guests, but I think I told Dominique knows this. I am wearing an evening gown tomorrow, which requires what, Craig? You can go ahead and say it.
You're going to have to use tape strategically?
Yes, double-sided upholstery tape. Look at Rufus. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what part of the conversation.
Rufus is not taping himself into his outfit.
Well, you know, the attire is creative black tie. That's going to be quite creative.
Yeah, well, no one will know how creative I have to get.
Or you can be like Richard and say, it's black tie chic.
Black tie chic.
I have a dress. I have an evening gown that I wear to many events for this particular kind of a moment. I don't have enough money to buy more than one, but it's blue, so that works out well.
Nice.
So it's like a bear's blue.
Yeah, it also works BBF blue.
There you go, BBF blue. Also, Autism Speaks blue. A lot of organizations, thankfully, have blue. When Epilepsy Foundation comes around, I will try to find a purple dress, but until then,
I'm sticking with
my blue dress.
Get in the right light, it could be purple.
Exactly. Just with the right filter, everyone knows what I wore.
And take a selfie.
And take all the selfies. So tomorrow night we will be at Revel, which is at 1215 Fulton Market. And the event starts at 7?
8 o'clock.
8. I've heard it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 o'clock. The event starts at 8. You have to tell me 7 so I get there on time for 8.
Gotcha.
And a lot of fun folks are going to be roasting Richard Dent. We're going to have Steve Cochran is hosting the event, and the guy from ESPN. I can't remember who you said.
Mike Wilbon.
I should probably write that down.
Mike Wilbon. Pardon the interruption. Mike is actually a Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Hell's Franciscan. No, he didn't.
Guest pardons the interruption when they're supposed to be speaking. I don't think any other guest has ever said, pardon the interruption. No. This is your time.
So. We have to watch this show. These guys, yeah, you do have to pardon the interruption because they interrupt
hilarious.
Each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so knowledgeable about sports. You know, Mike was actually a sports writer for the Washington Post.
Oh, it's the name of the show. I thought he was part. He was asking.
Catch up, Patty.
Yeah.
I love it.
He's being so polite.
Oh, my God.
I tried to whisper it in your ear so, like, you could casually not make it a big deal. And then immediately, that's the name of the show.
No, everyone at home knew that I didn't know that.
Pardon the interruption with Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. really great on ESPN.
I really thought Rufus was the most polite guest. You have a pardon the internet. No, you go ahead and talk. That was really sweet of
him. Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
See how much fun you're going to have tomorrow night?
We all pardon the interruption.
Oh, we're so excited that Patty's going to be on the mic tomorrow.
I don't know how excited you should be. I'll be up there the whole time. Who? What are we doing again?
And I think this is Patty before cocktails.
I think so, too, Rufus.
This is Patty there's I believe there's cocktails in the green room. We have some food coming in from our wonderful friends, and they'll be coming in next. So you should have some food. There's a lot of fish.
Well, I think we should. We should taste test it before it comes in here with you.
Yes, yeah, so you should definitely taste it.
We should do
Fullstrom
that.
Is coming at Fullstrom Fish Market. They've got a lot of good stuff.
Oh, we like them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
we
yes.
do like them.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. You really have an amazing facility. And I was telling Dominique the reason I wanted to have you in as soon as possible. One, to talk about tomorrow's event, SACT, the Roast of Richard Dent at the Revel Fulton Market. But also, we've talked on the show before many times about the neighborhoods that the rest of the city would rather just figure it's going to be what it is. They turn their backs on neighborhoods like North Lawndale, Gage Park, Ashburn, and just figure, you know what? That's not our problem.
Let me tell you about North Lawndale. And I actually grew up in North Lawndale, moved away in 1967. North Lawndale suffers from North Lawndale used to be the world headquarters for Sears Roebuck. For Western Electric was there, Magicus,
and there's some nice buildings there. You can see that there used to be a lot of families and homes. That
you know, it is a longstanding community. It was Jewish, then it became Black when a lot of things happened. There was redlining, there was contract leasing, there were all the things that really took advantage of the community and people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1968, Dr. King was assassinated, and when Dr. King was assassinated. Those people in Lawndale, people in Garfield, people across the country were really angered by that. And Lawndale burned. There was a tremendous civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
The issue for Lawndale is that nothing has been reinvested since then.
Right.
And all the companies I mentioned left and nothing came back. And so there's generational poverty. There's joblessness. There's we have the highest level of reentry in North Lawndale. There's a huge underground economy because people have to survive somehow.
Right.
And this is what people
And when you
do.
Say underground economy, you mean an illegal economy.
Illegal economy. Mm-hmm.
Drug
illegal
dealing.
Drugs.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Right, because when you can't find a job, you find a way to do things. You right. find a way to survive and you take
and people,
advantage of whatever that is.
And I mentioned this to Dominique earlier. People say, well, then why does anybody stay there?
Because where else would people go?
Right.
And people go. People are there because their families have been there. They have right. history there. And unfortunately, right. in so many places like this, what tends to happen is when you have the chance to get out, you go. And all that's left are those who have the most need.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up with a community that's really terribly in need. What we're trying to do at BBF is really to empower this community, empower the citizens, empower the children, empower the families. And build a community that has the same opportunities that you would get if you lived in Lincoln Park or Lake Forest.
Right.
So Lawndale now becomes a place that you want to live as opposed to being a place that you want to leave.
Right.
We think we can really help to provide by providing the family services, the youth services, by having good after-school programs, health and wellness, good education-centered programming. We can really help to move the ball forward and really give people a chance and give people hope. We have a wonderful mentoring program. We're bringing in children who are really caught by the streets, troubled by the generational things. And some mm-hmm. of those children you'll meet tomorrow when we talk about what BBF is doing.
They're going to be dancing and performing tomorrow, including a remix of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yes, the Tap Lab group is going to be performing, and I've seen it tonight, and it's fantastic.
Very cool. Before I let you go, can you tell me, Dominique or Rufus, what's a good way for people to get involved if they're not going to make it to the event tomorrow? What can they do to support you and the things that you do in the community?
Sure. They can volunteer. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for volunteers to come out and help. They can donate to our organization.
We're always looking for donations and people to donate.
Yes, we're always looking for donations. They can assist with programs and services. We have a law firm that's interested in sending attorneys out to talk to the kids and help to empower them and do some job shadowing. So there's a whole host of opportunities. And you can reach out to the development office and the community engagement office at BBF and just go online, bbffamilieservices.org, and click
You can learn everything about you guys,
exactly,
and everything you do for the kids, the families, the community at bbffamilieservices.org. You've got the, you know, learn about the people who work there, including Rufus. Before I let you go, Rufus, what would you like people to know about the kids and the families that you serve?
I'd like for people to know that many of the people that we serve have been dealt a really raw deal. And it's not one of their own choosing, but one that they can certainly overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But all of us overcome with help from others. What we have here is the opportunity to do something great for these people because they need so much. And what we can do from BBF and truly following the legacy of our founder, Joe Kelman, and his son, Jack Kelman, who's still very involved with us, what we're trying to do is really to create those opportunities. There's been so many great people who've come from Lawndale, who've come from the West Side, who've come from disadvantaged communities. And we lose a lot as a country. We lose a lot as a world by not allowing those people to develop. So what I'd like for people to know is that when you read stories about North Lawndale, when you read stories about violence, when you read stories about poverty, there are real people on the other side of
yes.
those stories.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And it's incumbent upon all of us to try to make those people whole and do what we can for them.
And we will continue to have this conversation with you. We'd love to have you back next month to talk a little bit more about the kids and the families in your community.
That would
and
be fantastic.
We'll set up a date right before you guys go. And we'll do a selfie. We'll see if you got it down or not.
I will have it down. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Again, go to bbfservices.org and hope to see many of you there tomorrow night. There's still a few tickets left. Not too many, but it'd be fun to hang out with you tomorrow. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. More after this, pretty late. Craig, I'm about to grab something to eat from Falstrom's. Am I saying it correct? Falstrom's
yes.
Fish Market.
No, Falstrom's Fresh Fish Market.
I apologize. I've not heard it both ways. That's actually the way it's said.
That's the name.
All right. Fantastic. I was at Sketchfest. And I needed something to eat, and there was a place across the street. And I was like, you know what? Everyone goes to eat here. You know, like a lot of the guys that I've seen and whatever. And then I saw people walking down the street. I'm like, what's down there? Because there's a strip mall with a bunch of closed businesses, but I saw a light on. It said Fish Market, so I didn't remember Fresh. It didn't stick out of my mind.
You'll never forget it now.
I never will. Yeah. Falstrom's Fresh Fish Market.
Yeah.
Right there at Belmont and Falstrom's. That's the address now.
Belmont and Falstrom's. I love
that. Do you like that?
Cross Street. I love that.
And I walked in and you were there. You actually were at the front door behind the host stand.
What were the first words we shared?
I said, oh my God, it smells amazing in here or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Something. You have to come closer to that microphone if you don't mind.
And
thank
then she
you.
Had my heart.
Well, I was tickled because I introduced myself to you and you said you listened to the show.
All the time, yeah. Actually, I'm born and raised Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, you.
Yeah, staying up late. Are you?
Falling asleep, you know, things like that.
All right.
Radio on.
Well, you don't tell people you fall asleep with me. That gets a little bit sketchy.
Well, we have shared first words together. So.
Have we? That's
yes.
good to know. And you have Chef David with us as well. And Mark, not Mike.
It'd be Mark, yeah.
It's Mark, not Mike.
It's a good one, thanks.
All right, then you're welcome.
We have Chef David Nyman, the architect of the menu. And Mark Aducci is one of the original investors in the restaurant. And he made all the other investors come along. He made it happen.
Well done, sir. I'm a big fan. Chef David, I was there, and I wake up so late in the day. You know, sometimes I miss everybody's breakfast menu. So thank you so much for having breakfast available all the time.
All day.
Your potato pancakes. What in the, like, I've had potato pancakes. They're so hearty. Come closer to your microphone if you don't mind. Tell me about your potato. Is that a special recipe? Because I was blown away.
Very special recipe.
Yes.
You're
going to
have, you know, fresh hash brown potatoes just shredded up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to bind it with egg yolks and sour cream.
Mm.
You got red onions, green onions.
Yep.
Salt, pepper, garlic, or SPG, what we call it. And mold it all together.
One of the best I've ever had. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you very much.
So good with some eggs and some sausage. I was all in. An Irish coffee. That's how I had breakfast at 6 p.m. at your restaurant. That was
cool.
Really, yeah.
We serve breakfast all day long, and that's what independent guys can do. We create recipes like this that become legends in people's minds, and they come back for things like that. And potato pancake is one of them.
Yeah, and I came back a week later to enjoy one of your I had salmon the next time. So good.
Which we have over here.
Yes.
We've got some salmon chilled with a little dill sauce with the bourbon sauce on top of it.
But you told me to eat some of the tuna salad, and I would never think of tuna salad the same way again, so I have to get to work on that. Go ahead, you keep talking about what you brought.
We have revolutionized tuna fish salad.
Mm-hmm.
We smoke our own albacore tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's there, darling, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And David, I'll let you tell about what some of the ingredients in the smoked tuna fish is. Mm.
Very simple. You take fresh albacore tuna, mm-hmm. and we're going to smoke it by putting some brown sugar and sea salt on it. Mm-hmm. Smoke it with hickory chips. And after that, mayonnaise, stone ground mustard.
Nice.
Honey, shaved Parmesan cheese, onions.
Look, Mark's done. Like, look at this. He's getting so detailed. Well, chefs are artists. What do you want them to do?
I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Did you know about that blend of sweet and salt and then the cheese?
Of course I did. I know about everything.
I don't know how involved the investors get over there, Glenn.
He works at the restaurant.
I'm very involved.
I didn't see him there.
Yeah. I'll look for you next time.
All right, then fine. No, this is really, it is amazing because there are a lot of, it's got like layers to the flavor of it. It's wonderful.
Like no tuna fish you've ever tasted before.
And you also, okay, so we have the tuna fish salad.
We have the tuna fish
and the shrimp.
Mm-hmm. We have smoked shrimp that we smoke in-house, too. David, you want to talk about how we smoke the shrimp?
Marinate it with olive oil, salt, Old Bay seasoning, mm-hmm. and brown sugar.
You like some brown sugar. I don't think we've had a chef talk about brown sugar. Mm. It didn't go in the potato pancakes, but it did so far in two of the fish dishes.
I really like brown sugar, though, so I'm all for this.
I do. How do you keep it from clumping? I'm kidding. It is now, Chef David. Where are you from originally?
Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, you like pause. You're from outside of Detroit, aren't you? And you're from outside of Detroit. And you didn't want to give us
Detroit,
specifics.
Michigan, and then moved outside after high school.
Okay,
and then ran into this gentleman, Glenn, in 2005, walking down the street.
No. Okay.
That's just,
I mean, like, that seems like there more to that story than you ran into
it. I feel like he couldn't just tell you were a chef. That wasn't.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a great little story. I had a restaurant called Glenn's Diner on Glenn's Diner and Seafood House on Montrose Avenue.
Which, by the way, Esmeralda Leon, who's not here tonight, mentioned that that was one of her favorite restaurants that she enjoyed.
Well, now she needs to come to Falstrom's.
Yes.
Now she's come to Falstrom's. And we're sitting in the dining room, the cooks and I, and we need another guy. We're shorthanded. And David was going to cooking school at the time, and he always got up at the Montrose Avenue Brown Stop line. Mm-hmm. And he'd walk by the restaurant in his chef clothes all the time, right?
Okay.
And he'd been doing this.
Those
for
black and
weeks.
White checker pants in your jacket.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a chef's jacket. And we're talking about, okay, we need another guy. And he walks by, and I said, would somebody please go out there and get that guy right now and bring him back?
No. That and guy looks like a good chef. I could tell by the kind of pants he's wearing, by his chef pants.
He was a block away, and he came back, and I think he started the next day, and it started a relationship that David and I have been together with for, let me reuse that word relationship, or take that word back, mm-hmm. a friendship.
A friendship.
That has started since then, and David and I are the architects of this seafood concept that we're doing, mm-hmm. and we're going to take this to the nth degree.
Well, let me take a break here, and after the news, I want to talk a little bit about how you've kind of created this neighborhood get-together environment in your restaurant. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late with Falstrom Fresh Fish Market.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/talkradio.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by some of our new friends from BBF Family Services. Dominique and Rufus are hanging out with us as we enjoy some delicious food from Falstrom Fresh Fish Market at, I have to figure out how to make that stop. Hold on a second. There it is. They left me in charge of the buttons, and I wasn't sure. I thought I was rolling it down, but I was not. How are you doing, Glenn?
Good.
I discovered you during Sketchfest, and you were just telling me off the air that, as a matter of fact, coming up in April, you have something coming up, opening at Witt Theater.
I'm going to be in a play with Shatter Globe Theater Company, In the Heat of the Night, which is the play version of the Rod Steiger Sidney Poitier movie.
Wonderful. And are you already rehearsing then?
No, we start rehearsals in 2 weeks, March 7th. Then we go up early April.
Okay.
So all to Shatter Globe people out there, hey, I'm talking about you.
That's right. Well, and what a great way to have. So it's nice to have like the food across the street. You do your work during the day. You go rehearse. How far do you live in the neighborhood too?
I live in Bucktown, about 5 minutes away from my restaurant.
And not bad.
What's going to be cool is I'll work till 6:30 at night, go across the street for my hour call, get ready, and
exactly,
and do the show. And invariably, I'm sure there's going to be people in the audience that will eat at my restaurant beforehand, come and see the show and say, hey.
Hey, it's the guy that was hanging out with us.
That owns the restaurant.
He sat me at a table.
Yeah.
The way your restaurant is laid out, so you have the bar and fish market, so people can come in and buy fresh fish and different, like your Bloody Mary mix, which you've, Craig has brought. Oh, let me have a ice cube in this one, too. I've, I'm like, wait, ice cube in my tomato juice. Thank you very much, Craig. Craig, you're my bartender tonight. Sorry about that. And that one's Craig's, right? That one right there is Craig's?
Who's ever there?
That's yours, Craig.
Yeah.
Take that. They all have one. Yeah. No, that's good. This is yours. Do you like,
an adults-only like radio program. Excellent. I love this.
Oh, yeah. No, we're just sampling. We're just enjoying. I can't see everybody right now.
Yeah.
So you have – so can people come in and order fresh fish in your
– Absolutely.
In your fresh fish market?
We are a working fish market, period. And we sell everything retail that we sell in the restaurant. And David creates a lot of other concoctions that we sell in the market also.
And people can buy the seasonings, kind of give them an idea of how to make it.
Seasonings, they can buy any kind of fish, and then the oysters, and then, of course, the new invention, the crabster.
What's the crabster? And you have like an all-you-can-eat crab thing that everyone talks about at the theater, by the way.
Every Tuesday from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, can we read that again? What it was a person's right to have affordable king crab legs at least once a week, and we make that happen.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. So that's once a week, every Tuesday from 4 to 9.
4 to 9 at the restaurant, All You Can Eat Alaskan King Crab Legs, market price, but as much as you can eat, we'll put in front of you.
I like that. And yeah. Chef David, do you find that people are sort of intimidated by cooking fish? I think that, you know, they're like, it sticks to the pan and it makes my house smell and that kind of stuff.
Well, the great thing is that they do have a lot of questions when they come into the fish market and for the retail. And we have a lot of knowledgeable staff there. You know, Mark Lazenby, we got... Brian, Michelle, Steve, and these guys will not only cut the fish you want almost to the exact size you want, but they will give you all the techniques needed. And a lot of them will try a lot of different things.
Yeah, you got to experiment. So, got to get in there.
So, I mean, but it's very versatile.
Mm-hmm. And Mark, where are you from originally?
South Side.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me give you a microphone. South Side. Just South Side. Not going to give me a neighborhood. We got Bucktown. We got Detroit. South Side. We're on the South Side.
I'm originally from Pullman.
Okay.
You know where that's at.
I do know where Pullman is. And what got you into the restaurant industry?
Well, I traded for many years. And a couple years ago, I've been a very good friend with Glenn's cousin, and she mentioned that he...
Lori!
Hi, Lori.
Lori's great. We're very good friends, and, you know, as well as Glenn is. So she mentioned that Glenn was interested in opening a restaurant. And we sat down and had some discussions, and, you know, he seemed like an all right guy.
Yeah, he does. He seems like an all right guy.
So, and I remember, you want how much from me?
Is that what he said? Wait, what's the check for? What's the check amount? Yeah. Rob Martier is in the studio. Help yourself to anything, and I've got a glass for you if you want to share a little bit of that vodka. And Bloody Mary mix. There should be another glass in our office, I think, if you want to. Oh, you're going to give him yours? Look at that. Craig's just sharing. Tell us a little bit about the Bloody Mary mix that you have, that
Chef,
you bottle.
You grab that one.
Bloody Mary mix.
Why are you laughing? It's got I can taste the garlic in there. Hmm? Is that garlic? Horseradish.
Horseradish.
Yes.
Horseradish, tomato juice. There's going to be clam juice inside of it, and a lot of other house
sugar.
Spices. Always
brown sugar. Yeah.
Brown sugar has to be in it.
Brown sugar.
You know, and it just comes together really good. And once you hit it with the vodka and then the skewered shrimp, pineapple, celery, and
pineapple.
Carrots.
That's different.
That's how we garnish a glass with shrimp, pineapple, celery, carrots. Yeah.
Well, do you rim the glass at all?
Celery salt.
Celery salt. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
You know, you can tell any respectable seafood restaurant, you walk in the door, you ask them, do they use brown sugar anywhere in the kitchen? If they say no, get the hell out of there.
You are
right
not
now.
At Fulstrom's Fresh Fish Market
at
Belmont
out.
And Fulstrom's, which is actually close to, is it Sheffield?
Newark block east of Southport.
I always can. Why do I confuse those streets? Southport.
And it's at basically Belmont and Lakewood, but we're having Lakewood renamed Falstrom.
Yes, so, as you should.
Yes.
Yeah. And parking around there, I always get nervous that I'm not going to find, and I always find parking. I don't know why that is. It's like parking karma. It's not that bad.
You know, there's a medical building 75 feet away. They have indoor parking, 35 spots.
And you guys validate. You also have a deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for $3 you can park there while you eat at the restaurant. And your car is nice and warm when you come back.
I like that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very nice. Yeah, you have a really lovely restaurant. It's all nice wood floors. You've got wood detail everywhere. Yeah. The bathroom. I'm just one of those people that goes in if the bathroom is nice, I know everything else is as it should be.
Oh my God. Everybody judges a restaurant by the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well done, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Both, all of you. Thank you so much. Really? No, David, why are you laughing? You look all embarrassed. The bathroom, really? We're going to end on that? No, we're not going to end on that. We're going to end on brown sugar.
I hope not. I remember what that bathroom looked like when it was going under construction.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to know those details, but I mean, like, all the finishing touches in the restaurant make it really sweet. You have a wall that has, am I remembering this correctly, like all the cereal boxes?
Sure.
Yes, really sweet touch.
Sure. You gotta sell cereal in a restaurant that's open all day long.
What are your hours?
11 till 10 Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And 9 till 10 on Saturday and Sunday, 9 in the morning.
And how can people find out more information about what your menu is and what's available at the Fresh Fish Market?
They can date me.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize this turned into a Tinder show. A little Tinder action on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Glenn, are you on the market? Are you also part of the Fresh Market?
Yeah, but yeah, the Fish Tinder Market. Yeah. No, we have a website, and come on by, and I'll be happy to talk. Call me anytime. My personal cell phone's on every receipt, and I'll be happy to talk.
Well, go ahead and give it out now, as long as you're saying you're really available.
Come on,
dating.
Baby, 773-504-3937. And a shout out to a good friend of mine, Laura. Nice lunch today. Very good.
Oh, look at that. Now that you gave out your number, I don't know if there'll be another lunch. And and your show opens April 7th at the Witt Theater, Shattered Globe, for In the Heat of the Night. And I'll be by the restaurant soon. We'll have you back. We'll do our weekend wind-up cocktails with you at some point. We'd love to have you for that.
You're too kind. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chef David and Mark, brother of Mike.
Thanks,
and Carol.
Exactly.
More after this on 720 WGN. We're giving hugs and kisses and saying goodbye to our friends from BBF Family Services. Don't forget to join us tomorrow at Fulton Market, at Revel on Fulton Market, 1215 Fulton Market. Steve Cochran and I will be there. The guy who does Pardon the Interruption.
Mike Wilbon.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Mike Wilbon. But right now I have in studio with me Rob Martier, our very own newsman.
Oh, we have another theme song here. Let's do another theme song.
All right.
It's the weekend wind up, yeah. We'll talk about some things, that's what's going on.
I think that's pretty much it. This guy.
I thought there were more lyrics. No?
I don't know.
Hold on. No?
No, we're just going to talk about some things.
Mm-hmm. Roger Badish taking over the news desk, and Rob Martier here for the weekend wind-up. We are going to do What's in the Box after the 12:30 news. I didn't think it would be right to have our guests from the Family Services and also Glenn's Fresh Fish Market, and like, hey, we're going to talk about adult toys.
Yeah.
Although I do think Senator Katowski should play What's in the Box at some point.
I think we should make him.
I think so, too. A lot going on this week. Last night, we took some calls about Donald Trump, and I wanted to know what it was that people were drawn to. Because there's no joking him off. I mean, we can laugh about it. We can be frustrated if you don't like him. But there's no denying that there are people who are drawn to him because they're frustrated. They want to change. They're angry about immigration. They're angry about health care because they see it as being very expensive to them. It's expanded. Over 19 million people are now covered that were not before, but health care costs have gone up. I was listening to Donald Trump in his town hall meeting tonight, and he was asked what he would do for health care. And I yelled at Craig, and I go, he's going to make, he wants to have health savings accounts, which I don't know how that's health care, but health savings accounts, I guess, is one of the things he said. He said
which have existed for
a long time anyway.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. Yeah. And I kept waiting. And Anderson Cooper kept trying to ask him, well, what are you going to do? And he said, your plans will go down. He talked about Obama lying about health care. Obamacare will be repealed, he said. All the things that are in place right now aren't doing well. His plan will be much less expensive, better. You got to have a competition. He was talking about state lines and how healthcare providers, you know, the insurance companies, you can't buy across state lines, I guess. He wants to have an open market mm-hmm. and availability for choosing your healthcare provider. And you
look,
got,
look. His plan is going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
So huge. You're going
to
love it.
I didn't really, he never got to the, and he also never talked about pre-existing conditions. He was asked that specifically and never answered it. But he said, you got to take care of people. So that was his answer to what his healthcare plan would be. I wrote down, I took notes. So I wasn't
sure. I mean, you know, what draws people to Donald Trump? Probably the same sorts of things that draw people to Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
You have two guys that are really appealing to those that have a lot of anxiety about where this country is going. And it's one extreme versus another. And, you know, as far as healthcare is concerned, I mean, let's rewind. I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the Affordable Care Act. I mean, I really think the president, at a time when he enjoyed you know, the favorable parties in both chambers, I mean, the Democratic Party in both chambers, he missed an opportunity to do something even bigger than what was done. When you retool 1/7 of this country's economy, it's going to be hard to get it right, but he had an opportunity to get it right. And he should have gone, really, to a single-payer system. He should have gone to a system where...
But there was a lot of resistance to single-payer system. That seemed like an even bigger pie-in-the-sky idea for single-payer.
But again, if you truly want to make health care in any country equitable, everybody's got to have skin in the game.
Yes.
And I know some people probably say it's unfair.
Can you explain for people who don't know what single-payer system means?
I lived in Canada for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. They have what they call a single-payer system. It doesn't refer to the individual. What it refers to is the governing body. So in Canada's case, the provinces. Here in the United States, it would refer to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who has an income, part of your tax then now goes into the larger healthcare pot.
Okay.
There are two ways to pay. There's a federal payout to each of the states, but then there's also the tax that the state collects to administer healthcare.
Okay.
So obviously, larger states have more coming in, but then they also have more to take care of.
And that would be their federal tax or their income tax?
Both. It would be an income tax, both on the federal.
So
and state
So it increase
level.
On both, an increase on those taxes.
It would increase.
Okay,
yes,
but it would absolutely. Be for specifically for healthcare.
But it would be specifically earmarked for healthcare.
Okay.
Again, like they have in Canada or the UK, or you know, countries with that type of setup.
Okay.
But everybody would then be issued, so for instance here in Illinois, your Illinois state health care card, and then you can go to all of the doctors, all of the services then would be taken care of, and then the state would be billed accordingly.
And how is health care in Canada as far as like wait times? Because they talk about when they're single payer.
They're high.
They're,
I mean, you know, it's, again, there's good
for
and
everybody
bad.
Or it depends on which health care plan you have?
Well, certainly emergencies are taken care of, you know, on a triage sort of basis.
Okay.
So if you go in and you're clutching your chest, you know, and you're having a heart attack, certainly you
gaping
be,
wounds, I hope, are taken.
Gaping wounds are taken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I hate when wounds are gaping. That's the worst
no,
one. That's
yeah,
the worst
we don't, they don't want, yeah, no. No, blood's not a good thing,
no.
Especially if it's coming
I've gone in with one.
Wound.
They take you very quickly. I had an open headlock.
I
was dripping blood. They were like, oh, come on in. I'm like, I think that's my skull.
Right so, but anyway, I mean, you take that and you fast forward to where we are now. And I just think it's, there's certainly an opportunity to make it better.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's falling short, I think, of expectations.
Do you think that Obamacare, that the health care, the Affordable Care Act was a step in the right direction at all? Or that it shouldn't have, I mean, if it wasn't going to go all the way, they should have just given up.
Let me say this. Something needed to be done.
Okay.
Really needed to be done. But again, there was a missed opportunity not only to do something bigger, because he did have control of both chambers, the
right.
Senate and the House, for 2 years.
Right.
But he also could have done something bigger, too, by and again, there was resistance from the Republicans, but he should have been more open, saying, hey, look, guys, I need your input as well, because this thing's not going to work.
And I thought there was a call for that, and there wasn't. And why should he? I mean, like, couldn't they have offered it? Do they have to be asked for their input? Can they not just offer it and say, here's my plan?
I think
here's
was,
my alternative.
There
was
there
no.
Was, well, there was some undercurrent. There were some things that the Republicans voiced in terms of concerns. And
but I remember people saying, well, what's your plan? And no Republican had a comprehensive health care plan or
well,
a group of them.
Well, but there were ideas out there that they wanted to see incorporated into what eventually became the Affordable Care Act.
Okay.
So was there a big, grandiose plan? No, there wasn't. But there, again, there were some, you know, there were pockets of Republicans saying, hey, look, we need to take a look at this. We need to look at the Medicaid expansion, the Medicare expansion. We need to look at all of these things mm-hmm. and how this is going to play out. And, you know, and our state's going to be willing to participate.
Sorry, Craig, you were going to jump in as well.
Well, no,
I didn't mean to. Pardon the interruption.
Rob has talked about this several times before. Sometimes when both sides disagree, they just kind of dig their heels in and don't talk at all. And I seem to remember something like that happening where both sides had a very different opinion of what this would look like. Mm-hmm. And instead of conversing and finding one solution, they did what they usually do and they just completely shifted to two different sides. And, you know, there was not a lot of help from Republicans for Obama to craft this, if I remember it correctly.
That's what I thought.
Well, yeah, look, you know, the finger pointing goes back and forth. The reality of the situation is that you take 1/7 of a multi-trillion-dollar economy and you run it through. And, you know, of course, it was met with stiff resistance because look at how many legal challenges there have been up to this point. In fact, it's still being challenged in the courts.
Right.
Although
the Supreme Court upheld most of the cases that came before them when it came to the Affordable
Care.
Well,
the big one was the individual mandate, mm-hmm. you know, and that one was upheld.
Right.
So, you know, and now we are
where
we are.
It was deemed constitutional. Right.
Yeah. Well, it was deemed a tax.
Right.
You know, John Roberts in the Ascension basically said, yes, the governing body has the authority to impose a new tax on you.
I have so many notes in front of me, yeah. Rob. We have to do what's in the box next. More after this on 720 WGN. Aw, little boxes. What's in the little box? You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and I'm joined by our newsman, Rob Martier, in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Up in our newsroom, taking care of everything you need to know, is Roger Badish. And in our studio, we have actress, dancer, performer, star of This Is the Worst, a solo sketch comedy show, which is every Friday night at the... Is it Fridays only?
It is... Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
For this weekend and next weekend.
Excellent.
At the Whip Theater.
At the Whip Theater. It's on Northwest Highway, right there by the Emerald Isle and Zia's Trattoria, a lot of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, in Edison Park.
Yeah, in Edison Park. Right over by there. It's really over by there. Actually, I have to go to Don Juan's. I think I have a Groupon at Don Juan's I should go take care of. There's also the Carrah.
You should come to my show.
Wonderful Irish restaurant across the street, the Carrah. All right. As though I know the area. I grew up right down the street. Sarah is performing her great show. I can't recommend it enough. If you have ever felt frustrated trying to fold a fitted sheet, you do not want to miss this performance. That's not the whole show. That would be weird if it wasn't like the whole thing was just you folding a fitted sheet.
I mean, it does take an hour sometimes.
Oh my God, so great. What you did with that, I don't even understand just the brilliance of that moment in your show. So every Friday night, we have not played for a couple weeks because I've been traveling. We play What's in the Box, and I'm so excited to have you all with me to play tonight. We have on the line with us, first we have, make sure I have lock you both in. First we have Sandy. Hi, Sandy, how are you doing?
Oh, great. I had disconnected you, and I called back and got reconnected, so I'm so excited.
Well, Sandy, funny story. Seems like the reconnection has a lot of echoing, so Sandy, call us again. I just heard myself tell you to do that. I'm talking to myself. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Sandy. Sandy.
Yes,
call.
I'm here.
Again.
Yeah, you.
I'm here.
Okay, call us right back. We're not gonna dismiss you at all. But we need you to call back because there's an
make
echo.
Make sure there's no radio on.
Yeah, but if the radio was on, it would be a little bit of a delay because it'd be 7 seconds.
So it's the phone.
This is immediate.
You know what? This is actually Daniel's phone that's creating the problem.
Oh, Daniel.
Oh, my phone.
Daniel, you call us back.
You call us back, Daniel.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Do you ever do that? It's weird to have it happen on the radio. Oh, there you go. Sandy's phone is... Hi, Sandy.
I'm here.
Hi. Have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
I did a couple of weeks ago, and I was laughing so hysterically. I couldn't believe it.
This is my favorite thing. And so we'll wait till Daniel comes back. Hopefully he can call us, and hopefully the line is all cleared up. For those of you who've never heard us play What's in the Box, poor Craig was in the producer's booth tonight as I was yelling reviews that were not going to make it into the game. Should I read, while we're waiting for Daniel to call us back, should I read some of the reviews?
I feel like that breaks the whole point of the we're not going to put them on during the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole...
If you are a small woman, don't get this one.
You're not gonna talk about the other one, the one where they have to put stuff on the ground.
Okay, so yeah, you want that one? Okay, she goes, so here, Sandy, we're going to just do some practice ones that would not be in the game, because obviously.
Okay.
She goes, okay, to update, I finished 5 times in so many different ways in 30 minutes. Look at Sarah's eyes. I find myself coming back to this. I'm going to need to start laying on top of a tarp. Those are the reviews that did not make it into the game. Is Daniel's phone still giving us a...
No, we're getting other people calling in now claiming to be Daniel. Give me a second.
Imposters.
How about this one, Sandy? You're going to like this one. I got this for my now ex-wife before I deployed. It obviously wasn't satisfying enough. Because within 2 weeks, she was getting the real thing instead of using this. Would not buy again.
Oh, boy.
No.
That's almost like a country song.
It is.
Right? I got this for my wife before I deployed.
See, but I love how honest people are on these reviews. Yeah. So you have to imagine how much editing goes into it. Because Roger will tell you how much editing goes into pulling these reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
Did I give you some reviews yet, Sarah?
No.
Can you pass these over to Sarah?
Sarah, do you want to just make them up as you go here?
I emailed 2 weeks ago. I sent the email. Craig's got it.
Yeah.
There's about 10 under each category. I went crazy.
Well, as you should, because it becomes sort of addictive, doesn't it?
Yeah, very addictive.
It's a challenge to find the ones that will be acceptable.
And I try not to repeat any. Mm-hmm. And then I try to make it challenging, too.
Yes, exactly. Some of these, I'm excited because, let's go ahead and make sure that Daniel is familiar with the game as well. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Is this the Daniel with the Echo?
Yes, this is Daniel with the Echo.
This is exciting. This line sounds fantastic. Okay, Daniel, have you heard us play What's in the Box before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so for those of you who have never heard us play so that we're not just confusing others, I tend to do a lot of shopping online, and I do rely heavily on the reviews of others for particular things that I might want to have in my home or in my life, and I was surprised to see how many people will review anything and everything, from shoes to sweaters to cell phones, DVRs, adult toys, maybe a blender and a hand mixer, and... because of that, I realized that there were some similarities between the home kitchen appliances and adult toys. So we devised this game called What's in the Box, and the contest is for our listeners to determine whether the review read by Roger, Sarah, Rob, if it's a review for an adult toy or for an appliance. So the correct answer must come in the form of toy or appliance. You do not have to tell us what kind of toy or what kind of appliance, just toy or appliance.
Okay.
And thank you for those of our previous contestants who have attempted to answer.
Right. Brand names get no extra credit, none of that stuff. Yeah.
No, and where it goes, also not necessary. So thank you so much.
I have a lot of questions. Okay, wait, let's play the game.
All right, we're going to start with Sandy. Roger Badish, because he's had his reviews for so many weeks, I think he should start. Go ahead, Roger, for Sandy.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I drilled a hole in it from the bottom up. Then I inserted a stainless steel rod into it. Now it's perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, MacGyver.
Oh my God. That's got to be an appliance, I hope.
It would have to be a very personal appliance.
What?
It's actually a toy.
Oh.
Who does that?
Oh, no.
I told you, I do my work.
Wow.
Everyone's really grossed out.
and a little intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm a little.
Sense of curiosity.
So I want to know what that does. What was the end goal there?
That was like two weeks ago that I found that one. So, and again, heavily edited.
Okay. We kind of appreciate that. Sarah, will you please read for Daniel?
I will.
Thank you.
Excellent quality.
There you go, Daniel.
Do you need me to read that again?
Yes, please.
Excellent quality.
You're going way too fast.
I'm
not catching
to enunciate more.
Excellent
time.
Quality.
Yes.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go appliance.
Daniel, that's a toy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know.
It could have been. It was a tricky one.
It's a tricky one. See?
It's tricky.
It is. It's very tricky. Rob Martier.
All right. This thing is amazing. It does everything you want it to.
Oh, it's got to be a toy.
Wah, wah.
Now we know what Sandy
it's an
means.
An appliance. Sandy, I'm so sorry. I really wanted to help you out.
So did she.
I mean, not in the biblical sense, but, you know, I wanted to help you along.
Wow.
Oh, rats.
Okay. Oh, rats. I love Sandy and Daniel. This is fantastic. All right, Roger, will you please read for Daniel?
Okay.
They're tied at zip.
Nope. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Right. Well, no one's on the board.
Okay.
All right.
I haven't had a chance to use it yet because we are not finished.
Sorry. Good, Daniel.
I'm going to go with an appliance on
that. Oh, congratulations.
There we go. There we got Daniel
go.
On
go
the
Daniel.
Board. Go, Daniel. All right, Sandy. Sarah Barnhart is going to read for you.
Okay.
I love this exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Wow.
It's my new favorite. Smiley face.
I certainly hope it's a toy.
It is indeed a toy.
Yay!
There we go.
Yay!
On the board.
I actually own the toy that this is reviewed for. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob Martin.
No, actually, as a journalist, I need to follow up on that statement.
It's a Lalo Saroya, just
excellent.
So you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so right. I'll have to Google that when I get home.
Please do.
All right, here we go.
I do it a lot as well.
I'm reading for Daniel, correct? All right, you ready?
Yes.
I absolutely and honestly cannot find one thing to complain about concerning this wonderful product. I have a very, very extensive collection of various items, such as this, and this one is by far the best of the bunch. Which is saying quite a lot.
I'm going to say a toy on that one.
Attaboy, ding, ding, ding. Well done.
I love how detailed they're like, and that my collection, various items. Just, I mean, people are not, they're very open about.
It could be like a crescent wrench. I mean, you never know.
Okay. Roger Badish, will you please? So we have, Daniel is up 2-1. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So,
yes,
Roger,
is.
Please read for Sandy.
Okay, I got so many good ones.
so does that last reviewer.
Toy.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
The machine is quite heavy and overheats more quickly than I would like.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's go appliance with that one.
I'm sorry. That's a toy.
Machine? Wow.
Oh, no.
That's no love lost for that appliance.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Machine. Roger, can you tell me later which one that was? I'm sorry, go ahead.
We'll talk later.
All right, then. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds, me too.
Yeah, it sounds heavy duty.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Sarah, Daniel is ahead 2-1. Can you please read the review for Daniel?
Are you ready, Daniel?
Yes, I am.
We're going to 5 this time, by the way. Go ahead.
Okay. Nothing can compare to this product. Like everyone else, I was skeptical about the price and how well it would actually work. It was worth every penny. I would even pay more on the company's website to get if I lost this one.
Wow.
They deserve every cent.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, I'm going to go with a. I'm going to want a toy on that one.
That is correct.
Whoa!
Wow. Whoa!
Yeah, that's a $200 item, full price.
That was a 4-line review.
$200 item.
Roger, you don't know. You don't know till you know. Is all I'm saying. You don't know.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm just saying, Amazon sells it for less. Go ahead. Rob Martier, please read for. Where are we?
Sandy. All right, Sandy, you ready?
Sandy is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna read this verbatim. Okay, here we go.
Sounds
so
like
don't,
Sandy's
don't,
getting more ready
I
every
know.
Second.
Yeah, don't correct me on the grammar here.
Okay.
I can only say that it is a gift of God to me. I'm thankful to him. That's the maximum I can say.
Wow.
A gift from God.
Oh, Lord, it's got to be a toy.
Sandy, I'm so sorry. It's an appliance.
Sandy and I are on the same page. When you find something you like, you got to be thankful to the to a higher power.
It was
power.
The gift from God that tripped her
gift
up.
From God.
Daniel's got to have a lot more fun things in his closet.
Atta girl, Sandy.
Oh, boy.
I am desperate need here.
Roger, you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Can you please read for Daniel? Yeah. He is winning 3-1.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Right.
stop. All right. Okay. Love how it looks and the remote that comes with it. Packaged well. Everything needed was included. Substantial and beautiful.
Huh. I'm going to go with appliance on that one.
Ooh, smarty pants you. Look at you. It's an appliance.
Wow.
Very good.
All right, come on. Let's help Sandy out here a little bit.
Yeah.
Daniel, have you been studying?
Ow. I know. I feel like he's been reading the reviews.
He's been cramming for this
one. No, I don't read the reviews. Weeks of listening.
Daniel, you should I'm just saying, for some late night reading, you'd be impressed.
Yeah, do some research.
Yeah, good. There you go, Sarah. Read for Sandy.
Best.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Sandy? Here we go.
Yes, I am.
Best money spent. I love this thing. So many settings, so many speeds. Gets the job done every time in different ways if I want to.
Well, I hope to heavens it's a toy, although with my record, I don't know.
You got it right.
Hey, Sandy.
Yay.
And that would be an accurate review. Go ahead, Rob Martier.
All right, Daniel, you ready?
Yes.
I didn't write that one, by the way, but that would be about my sentiment. Go ahead.
I gave this to my daughter. And family as a Christmas gift. I already had one. I liked it so much, I thought she needed one, too.
I'm going to go with try a toy on that one, I guess. I don't know.
Daniel.
That'd be the coolest
kind of gift does he give at Christmas?
Wow.
Daniel.
Look, there are conversations in my house that we've talked about on the show before. My mother, I'm not supposed to say this. Anyway, go ahead. Roger, I totally forgot. My mom, I'll ask her if I can tell a story. She'll say, not until I'm dead. So it's going to be a great show. So go ahead, Roger, if you could please read for Sandy. She is behind 4-2.
Four to two?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we need some help here.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try.
Okay, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It has continually variable speed with fingertip control. Should not drive or operate heavy machinery for 24 hours afterwards.
Oh, my God.
I said toy.
I can see Sandy just sitting up late watching infomercials, and she reacts to all of them like that.
Toy.
Oh, my God. That seems amazing.
Roger, I'm going to say toy. Tell us the toy, and what is it?
Wait, did she?
Sandy, did you say toy?
Yeah, I'm going with you on that.
I have no idea. I don't know what kind of appliance you can use that you can't drive for 24 hours. But I've been in a hotel room before and thought I probably shouldn't leave anytime soon. Go ahead, Roger. Yes? I travel a lot. Go ahead.
It is a toy.
Yeah.
Oh, yay!
Please. Yeah, me too. Could you please forward that one to me in the link?
I can't remember which one it is.
Oh, man.
Honest to
goodness. Give me that information.
Exactly. Not even off the air, Roger. You're going to have to go into your resources there.
Yeah, but I think we're onto something here. An adult QVC.
They actually have that.
Do they have that already?
Yeah.
Have I missed my million-dollar idea?
Yeah, erotic toys. They actually have. There's two girls. One's, have you seen this, Sarah? There's a blonde, really cute blonde, and another one's kind of like a geek girl. She's got like black frame glasses.
Is there an elderly doctor expert?
No.
Okay.
There's two young women, and there's two different, many versions of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it after.
24 hours?
That's what the review said.
Sandy, do not watch that channel. You won't stop. You are not allowed.
Yeah, Roger, please find that information for us.
And that's not the one that burned out.
Poor Dan. Poor Daniel's like, is it my turn? I don't know what's happened here. I hope the next one's a blender. Sarah, please read for Daniel.
All right, Daniel.
Okay.
This could be the winner.
Can't live without it.
Okay, that's it. Just can't live without it.
That's it.
That's it.
I love how Sarah gets the short ones, and I got War and
Peace. I know.
Hold on.
I'm going to go with the appliance on that.
That is correct.
Oh!
Hey! What?
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, Sandy. All right, 5-3. Daniel has
won.
Yes.
By the way, I
please
I
tell
found
us.
It.
Please tell us. What is it? I'm going to write down.
I found it.
Yes, what is it?
It is the, are you sure you want the?
Oh, I got my pen. Yeah, give me the title.
The Magic Wand.
Yes!
Original U.S. 110 volt.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, there are, I was doing some research on this earlier. There are attachments that you, in case it's not quite to you. No, I'm serious. Yeah. For reals. I wish we had a gift card to give you on that, but, Daniel.
There
you
is
have your...
a warning on that though.
Yes.
Yeah. Do not operate longer than 25 minutes.
Well, that's disappointing. Daniel, you'll have a choice of an Apt gift card. Thank you so much to our friends and Steve Shapiro at Apt Electronics in Glenview. You can go to apt.com, ABT.com, for information about all their fine products. And they might actually have some massages. And Sandy, once we get some information from Daniel, we also have a Lumel Nani's gift card. Thank you so much, you two. That was a lot of fun. And
thank you,
Sandy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Wonderful contestants. It was good for me, too. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And you can also watch us on the live stream at WGNradio.com, where we also have all of our shows podcast. So if there's something you missed, you can go to WGNradio.com. We're also available on iTunes. And come like us on Facebook, Patty V Show. That's P-A-T-T-I. Thank you so much for getting us over 3,500. We are at, during the next 100, up to 3,600, we are going to pick one lucky winner for an Apt Electronics gift card. Joining me in studio, fresh off the stage at Whip Theater in Edison Park, is Sarah Barnhart with her solo show, This Is the Worst, which I saw during Sketchfest. How long is the show? How long?
50 minutes.
I only saw part of it. Yeah. I have to come see you.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so this weekend, Friday and Saturday, so tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
And what time is the show?
8 o'clock.
It's at 8 o'clock. And then next Friday and Saturday?
At 8 o'clock.
All right. So, and if you're not familiar with Edison Park, anyone who's ever been to the, let's say, the Pickwick Theater, you're only about like a mile from where the Whip Theater is. It's kind of like in a cool little area where there's a lot of great restaurants and bars. And it's this beautiful little comedy venue that's tucked in there.
Drove past it Thursday evening when we went over to Tony's Italian Deli.
There you go. Tony's Italian Deli's over by there.
Yeah,
are you
over by
there.
Drive
past it tomorrow mm-hmm. or next Friday or so?
Yeah, you should
and
go.
Maybe stop.
Yeah, well, don't I, even keep I driving.
Work,
you should
I
stop.
Work like 48 hours in the next 24, so it's.
He's gonna be
but
here.
I'll try.
He's going to be here a lot.
Are you going to be there past well, this weekend?
Next weekend.
Okay.
And then I will
we'll
actually.
Try.
Be taking it to another theater the 3 weekends after that.
There you go.
Wow, this you is, are busy.
She is. This is her, everyone's chance to see her in Edison Park. So let's take pick a number between 1 and 10, Sarah.
I'm going to go with 7, Patty.
7. So caller number 7. We have a pair of do you want a pair of tickets?
Yeah.
To This Is the Worst at the Whip Theater in Edison Park. So 312-981-7200. Give us a call. And we have a free pair of tickets for you to come see this show. 312-981-7200. And if you're wondering about the neighborhood, you're like, how do I get there? You take you can get off the Kennedy. Get off the Kennedy over at Harlem Avenue. Take Harlem to Northwest Highway. Northwest Highway to the Whip Theater. It's I want to say it's at the 6800 block?
I believe it's 6670 is the address.
6670.
I could be wrong.
But
I think that's right.
It's really wrong that I know pretty approximately the address because it really, I grew up at 6133. My husband's going to hate that I said that. 6133 Northwest Highway. On Northwest Highway.
Wow.
I grew up above a bank.
Look at that.
I know. I love Edison Park. I've always wished that Norwood Park, that we have a similar sort of couple of blocks that are similar in the architecture and the neighborhood, but it just never got a lot of restaurants and bars the way Edison Park has. And they're trying. They have some cool restaurants there.
It seems like a nice little place. I've only been outside there for a total of 10 minutes now.
Right.
Today was my first time going.
Right.
It is cool.
It's a really cool neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's the St. Juliana's Parish,
yeah.
I believe, is the school where a lot of the kids in the neighborhood go. I wonder, I think it's Edison Park grade school. Ebinger would be the grade school in the neighborhood. I know, I just knew way too much about this neighborhood. But it's a really cool, cute little neighborhood. So if you don't live in the neighborhood or in the area, it'd be a fun way to get to know an overbite air situation. So you can go to the Whip Theater.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of a nice day tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So you can make a little day trip out of it.
Day trip.
Go on vacation to Edison Park.
There's some cute little stores over there. There's a nice wine shop on the block. Yeah. Go a little bit early. Check out the couple blocks where I've hung out.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go.
That's not why you have to go. Actually, one of my favorite boutiques is a few blocks south of there at the 6100 block called Pearl 2 Gallery. And gosh, what's the one across the street too? There's a really cute shop across the street. But Pearl 2 Gallery's got some really cute and handmade jewelry and women's clothes and
so
a lot of accessories.
So people could go.
Yes.
They could find something. They could send you fanned jewelry.
Exactly.
Not fanned. Fan. There's no D.
My husband, actually, this necklace that I'm wearing is from Pearl 2 Gallery. My husband gave it to me for Valentine's
Day.
That
is very beautiful. Well,
thank you very much.
I like it. Good job, husband.
How would you describe your show? Because I've seen it. It's very funny. It seems like it's elements of your life that you kind of blow up, but is familiar to everybody else.
So actually, I had a friend come see it, and he described it in a way that I have stolen from him, and I use it to describe the show. So he described it as a live-action one-person Looney Tunes.
Nice. I like
and
that.
It's pretty spot on. There are some moments that are very straight from Looney Tunes.
Is it really? Even the soundtrack?
You those parts were not in the version that you saw. So.
Oh, really? The parts that are the linear tunier.
Linear tunier. So I think maybe I talked about this with you before, but back a few years ago, a friend told me that when I was dating and trying to talk to men that I was like Wile E. Coyote trying to catch Roadrunner.
That he's element like, I do remember from your show.
Yeah, he was like, why can't you just go up and talk to them?
What do you do that is Wile E. Coyote-ish? Do you drop an anvil on them?
I tried that once.
To
didn't
what
work
effect?
Out so well.
Does he just mean that you were inept in doing it? I don't mean that mean.
No,
I mean that mean.
No.
That's what Wile E. Coyote is. He is inept in catching the Roadrunner.
Well,
that is the right.
And I was.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
I was, but what he was
I
saying
know.
Is I set
it's so
traps.
You're just so direct.
Oh, well, you know.
No, that's accurate, apparently.
I don't know if that's what. I didn't know she was actually throwing anvils on people. I was going for the
I'm
abstract.
Not offended.
Yes.
Good.
I am not offended at all.
Did you like paint? Did you like try painting a wall that was like a tunnel? It looked like
Ooh,
a tunnel.
I should have that in
just
there.
Walks right into it. It's actually I don't know what else it would be. So you have you've struggled with trying to date men and lure them and trap them.
Well, yeah, but
yes.
But
who hasn't?
Mm-hmm. Right. But so it's not all about dating. It's
no.
It's lots of life frustrations that. We often find ourselves saying, this is the worst, like folding a fitted sheet.
So brilliant.
And if you listen, people say this is the worst all the time. My best friend, Bren, actually used to say it a lot. Still does. This is the worst. Or this is the best. And so I hear people say that all the time. And so I figured, why don't I title my show this? Because then when they say it, they'll think of my show. And it's worked.
It has worked very well.
Do a lot of people come up after the show and tell you that was not the worst? Do they object to the title because you actually did entertain them? It was not the worst.
This is the worst, the best.
I have had a few people say that.
Nice.
Yes, as they should. Yeah, you had a sold-out show at the Sketchfest.
Yeah, it was
and
awesome.
It was very fun. And the fitted sheet thing, have you, in your adventures of creating this segment of your show, have you actually mastered the art of folding a fitted sheet?
So ironically, I already knew how to fold a fitted sheet.
I don't like you anymore.
Really well.
Really?
I'm pretty doggone good at it. My mom taught me. And
is it the way you have that? So you have a voiceover. You have someone giving you the instructions. You are,
right.
You know, in this sort of abstract, fun, surreal, cartoonish atmosphere of part of your show. You have you telling you how to do it.
Yeah. So the whole scene in itself was inspired because I love the goofy cartoons where he's learning how to drive or learning how to play baseball. And
he can never do it right.
Right.
And so all I knew was I wanted to do something like that. I wanted something that's difficult to do, something that could be very physical.
Oh, so physical. Craig, the instructions are slide down the side, and she takes her body and somehow has her leg and her arm. She's standing on one foot and slides down the side of the sheet, which just seems physically impossible. But she slides down it like it's a fireman's pole. It's very surreal. You did.
I get inside of it, actually, like she right does. On my hand with Sharpie, which is still there right now.
She does.
Tonight.
Wow.
Corner one, corner two. She does.
I took a nap before coming here, and I think it's gone, but I woke up with a backwards two on my feet.
By the way, naps before pretty
was
late.
There, was
is
there
encouraged.
A lot of practicing with the fitted sheet beforehand?
Oh, yeah. It took a while to get that in order to...
The exact right.
Poorly mm-hmm. fold a fitted sheet yeah. in a good way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Right, because, well, you know, that's actually the brilliance of it. To know how to do something so well that you can look inept. It's actually better to be wildly
good
skilled
word.
At something and then look like you're a moron doing it, right? Because you're deconstructing your ability because you actually know how to do it very well.
Brought to us by the word inept.
It is officially brought to us by the word inept. Inept is the word of the night.
The word of the night is inept.
Yep.
And apparently...
right? That's what they do. Anyways, playoffs.
312-981-7200. Tell us what the word of the show is, and you can win a pair of tickets to see This Is the Worst at Whip Theater. 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by performer, writer, actress, and dancer, Sarah Barnhart, who is performing her solo show, This Is the Worst, at the Whip Theater in Edison Park on Northwest Highway. Northwest Highway, and I want to say like Oconto or something. I'm not sure what they're in the O Streets at Edison Park. It's a long story. But we have some tickets to give away. We've already given away one set of tickets. And right now, to win another pair of tickets, you have to tell me, Wayne, what is the word of the show tonight?
Inept.
Inept.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations. Woo-hoo! You've won tickets to see.
All right.
Ironically, you are not inept.
Yes.
Yeah, you are the opposite.
Oh. You're not inept. You listen to the show, and 30 seconds after we say what the word of the show was, you were able to name the word. We appreciate that.
I know. Amazing, huh?
It was amazing. Do you know where Edison Park is?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
I grew up a little bit east of there.
Excellent.
Where did you grow up?
St. Margaret Mary's, Tui and Western.
Tui and Western. Oh, there you
That's
go.
That's my hood.
Look at that. See?
Oh, all... yeah?
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm.
It's still my hood.
Right by awesome. The Ridge YMCA over there, right?
The High Ridge Y.
Oh, yeah, the High Ridge Y. Yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely.
A lot of great swimmers came out of that YMCA. Very jealous of their swim program.
A friend of mine owns McKellen's right there, Tui in California.
Oh, the bar, yeah, right out of the corner.
See?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Colin, we'll do your neighborhood next. All right, Wayne, hold on the line, and we'll get your information and get your tickets at Will Call at the Whip Theater in Edison Park, and that's going to be shows Saturday at 8 o'clock this weekend and Friday and Saturday next week at 8 o'clock as well for This Is the Worst. Wonderful show that Sarah has created. You worked with Tim Zosko.
I did.
And he's very talented.
Person.
Yeah, I'm going to work with him, I hope, on my show as well. I haven't decided what the title of mine is, but... I want to do different things. I can't aspire to do what you've done. There's like I've never been good at taking elements and sort of making them, whether it's abstract or sort of blowing them up the way you have. And I really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really beautifully done. We're going to talk to Craig in a moment about something surreal that happened to him that I've never in my life heard of happening. When you bank, do you go to a teller? Do you use an ATM? Do you do it online? What's your banking style of preference?
Of preference, honestly,
yes.
Going to a teller.
Right?
However, my bank is still a North Carolina bank, so I do ATM or online.
Oh. See, and online I do some of that too, because I'll pay I got to pay my credit cards. It's the 20th. Yeah, I'll do some of a lot of my credit card payments. I'll do it that way. I'll check my balance on my phone. But I used to work at a Citibank. My job years ago was they hired actresses and actors to stand in the lobby of Citibanks and invite them over to take a photo to put on their credit cards, Right. So,
so they hired actors specifically to
like to talk to strangers, yeah. Right? You know, like they, yeah, you know, cool. They do that, yeah. Kind of like and it was I can't remember what agency I was with, but I had to stand and I got paid as like it was at the time was kind of crazy. It was like $12 an hour, which you know it was I think it was the late 90s, and it was just fun. But people did not want their pictures on their credit cards. And I thought, well, this is a way to protect you from theft, right? Like if someone steals your credit card, and the photo was on the front. It went away. Nobody wanted to do it. No one wanted their photo on their credit card.
Well, and at that time, we didn't have like, you couldn't take like 20 photos. Now, if you take the absolutely right one, you get one that looks nice, maybe people would want to do it more.
Maybe a selfie, take their own picture.
Do the claw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, is it more... vain that they didn't want their photo on there, or was it...
and I would have different reasons depending, like some people didn't want, they said they've already got too much of my information, so your photo is, I mean, like actually your photo protects you more than some of the other safeguards that you have, because if you hand over your card, like I write see photo ID on my credit card.
I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. My mom taught me well,
and I say, and it says please with a smiley face.
No one ever asks for my ID though. Do they ask you guys for your all the time?
I get asked for it all the time, even at Bruno's Pizza in the Merchandise Mart.
And they should, as they should. But Craig, you had an experience that blows my mind.
Yeah,
at an ATM. I don't use ATMs.
So
ever.
On the way home from the show last night, I stopped by the Fifth Third Bank near that Jewel in Andersonville. I'm gonna call them out of which one it is.
Okay.
And
because maybe someone else had this.
Yeah,
happen.
Maybe someone else had this happen. And I put my card in and I typed in my little stuff and then I asked for money back, and instead of getting money, I got stamps.
Stamps.
And I got the right booklets, the right amount of booklets of stamps that would have been like cash for each $20 bill I asked for. I got one set of stamps.
Like stamps for postage stamps, for mailing
and then
letters.
My account got reduced by the amount of money I asked for.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing that could happen. And so I freaked out and I called and like they're fixing it. So thank you for fixing that. But it was a
But
surreal.
Not immediate. It was not immediate. You had to go through several different people in customer service.
Now I do regret calling out the brand. But yes, I did have to call
a few
customer service people. And some people weren't even familiar that this was a thing. Like but some of the people I called were like, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can. Yes, it does.
And then you found out later, not only can it happen, but some of the people in the department were aware that it had happened to other people.
Everyone I had reached on the phone reacted when I actually got past like the first person to answer the phone, reacted knowingly. And the first person that I talked to actually said, oh, yeah, we had a report about this yesterday. So it had been like a day or two. If anyone, 312-981-7200, use the Fifth Third Bank near the Jewel in Andersonville off of Clark Street, and you got stamps, I want to know what happened.
Yeah, because you could not have surprised me more if I gotten confetti.
Right.
Right? Like, if I was standing there.
It could have been anything. Yeah,
it could have been anything. I'm like, well, how are postage stamps in the... Yes.
I'm interrupting.
You got to know.
Pardon the interruption.
What was your thought when this comes out?
So you can't leave. There were two people behind me, but I was like, I can't drive away from this ATM because I asked for dollars and stamps came out. So like I didn't know what to do. So I held the stuff up near the little camera that I saw. So like, it's documented. Look at me. And then I tried to do the transaction again just to get a receipt, but not get stamps. So I don't know. It was crazy. It was an insane kind of thing that happened. And then I drove up and I parked and I called people and it took hours.
So are they doing some type of hidden camera thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably all a joke. Yeah, this is a hilarious.
You feel like you're being punked. That you're being punked. Yeah.
No, it was some kind of experience.
Do you think
at some point right now-ish, the money should be going back into my account? So I've been checking feverishly.
Is it possible that somebody in the bank? I mean, like you can't steal the money and go, I'll just put stamps in there because they're going to know who was responsible for filling the ATM machine.
Yeah, I feel like.
Because it's like in a. I mean, I'm trying to imagine the inside of an ATM machine and how they slot the dollar.
Well,
the bills in there, the 20s and stuff.
Everyone I talked to, too, said that I was unlucky in the fact that I went at a time when the bank wasn't open. Because if I had just gone
into the
bank.
Why else would you use an ATM machine?
I don't know. Apparently, mostly, if I had just walked into the bank and been like, you guys gave me stamps and not dollars, they would just they would just give me 20s for the stamps that I got.
That
like, that's
so
just
weird.
Something they can do.
It's the strangest thing. Do you ever go to a teller or do you always go to an ATM?
Yeah. Tellers, I don't know. I just like putting my card in and getting the money out.
Yeah.
Not stamps. I don't like it when stamps come out.
I only go to tellers. I'll do the drive-thru, but it's still the teller. And plus, they know me. They ask me how the boys are.
You do the drive-thru and you just...
With the tube?
That's the one I hate the most.
Why?
I mean, I like the tube. I like the shooty tube, but I never have anything to shoot.
I always imagine that tube. I shrink and ride in that tube.
Oh, that'd be
like
great.
Augustus Gloop.
Right.
In Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka.
Or Ant-Man in anything that he could do that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Well, then he ends up in the sewer and like in the water.
Yeah,
and it's
you're right.
Disgusting.
That's not as pleasant.
Great. It's not a great thing.
That's sanitary.
Right. No. I would just want to keep doing the tube back and forth.
By the way, is Ant-Man, is he with Cap or is he with Iron Man?
He will be in the Captain America movie, and then I believe he will also be in the
He joins Cap
Thor
because
Hulk
he's
movie.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Go Paul Rudd. Go Paul Rudd. You know what?
Paul Rudd's
probably
likable.
Yeah,
he's a likable
really
man.
Is.
Likable man. Oh, we
got to
do news or something, right?
Roger Badish has. No, we're having
keep
so much fun.
Right, yeah, I know. It's fun.
You did a great job with What's in the Box tonight. Thank you
Thank
so much
you.
For this.
Oh,
I'm sorry it took
so
us so
many
long.
More. No, that's
I'm
all right.
I'm glad to hear that. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I've been telling Sarah Barnhart some stories, a little bit of background information about this show, but also I was struck by a story that I saw on Facebook. One of my, a fan of mine, someone who's become a Facebook friend named Jessica, posted the story in the middle of the night, and it's an essay by a woman who had been in an emotionally abusive relationship. And we've talked a little bit about this on the show before, and I know one of our listeners asked me to name him. Even though I do talk about Tom Daniels, it's not Tom Daniels. I would not put this guy's name out there because, it's so painful to me that I don't even want to stir things up with people. But he used to work at the Improv in Chicago, and I was only 21 years old. He was 7 years older than me, and we started dating, and he became very controlling. And he would call me a child. He would yell at me about, you know, that I was ignorant and I was an idiot. We ended up moving in together, and I remember I was supposed to pick him up one day at Belmont and Halsted. This is before we all had cell phones. And I was like 10, 15, 20 minutes late, something like that. And I got to the intersection and I didn't find him. I like got out of the car. I walked around, tried to see if he was in a couple of restaurants, and he wasn't there. And I got home and he had his feet up on a table smoking a cigarette. Tom smoked. It's not Tom Daniels. It's a different guy. And he just started hissing at me. You are such a child. He goes, I can't trust you to do anything. And just sort of like, just as
oh
slow,
gosh.
I know, he goes, I can't believe, he goes, well, you're so immature, you don't know how to be responsible for anything. And I was just like, you know, I felt really, and I became apologetic, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to be late, I got stuck in traffic. I mean, Belmont and Halsted is a really densely populated area, and it was just hard to get to. I'm getting the sweats just thinking about all the times I would come home and he'd be waiting for me to tell me like how stupid I was, or was I sleeping with somebody else. He accused me of sleeping with another comic. I came home one night and he was sitting in the dark. All the lights were out. He was just sitting in the dark waiting for me, and all you could see was the cigarette burning in the dark. Mm. And he asked me, how was it effing Mike Burton, this other comic I was working with? And I just, I like, I remember like my, I just, the way he would talk to me, I was like, oh my, what, you know, it felt wrong. But at the same time, like, he wasn't doing anything. Like, he wasn't hitting me. He was just saying things to me that just, he was accusing me, calling me stupid. And then Mike Burton actually was on stage at the Improv. Tom was the sound guy, and we were all auditioning for CBS. And he didn't do anything during my set. He turned off Mike Burton's microphone in the middle of his set. So, like, people started to know that it was because he was jealous, and like none of the comics wanted to have anything to do with me. I started to get isolated from other comics. This is what abusers do, by the way. They isolate you. They cut you off from your friends, your family. I had friends who didn't like him. They didn't trust him. So rather than say anything to me, and sometimes when you talk to somebody and say, you know, I don't like the way he talks to you, I don't like the way he treats you, that victim is like, no, but you know, they get mad at you.
Right.
And your friends, yeah, they get defensive because they also don't like having made a mistake. Right, because they feel like they're in love with them. And that was kind of, and then he would start throwing me out. He would tell me to pack my stuff and get out. So I would start packing my things, and he would start crying and tell me that because he loved me so much, I made him act that way. I made him crazy, and that's why he behaved that way. So he threw me out 3 times, and mostly it would be because he thought I was sleeping with somebody else, or just that I was ignorant, and he couldn't stand to look at me anymore, and I should just get out. And Craig, I don't think, have I ever mentioned like the night that I actually went, well, this is crazy, I have to go now.
I can't. I know. I'm familiar think with the story, but I feel like it hasn't happened on air.
My dog's name was Pepper,
and a really cute little schnoodle, half schnauzer, half poodle. And I went home to visit my dad. My mom was traveling, and I was like, I'm going to go hang out with my dad and my dog, Pepper. And I got home really late. I'm a late-night person. My dad and I used to stay up watching late movies and stuff and just talking. And I got home like maybe 3, 4 in the morning, and Tom goes, so how was your little doggy? And I was like, are you accusing me of something else? And he's like, yeah, you were not at your dad. You were not hanging out with your dad and your little doggy until 4 in the morning. And I thought, well, this is just crazy. I mean, like, I know where I was. I was hanging out with my dog and my dad. Pepper was like 18 years old. So I used to go spend as much time as I could with her. And I was like, you're nuts. I was like, you are out of your mind. There was nothing going on. Because that's the thing, too, is that when you know it's maddening, you know you haven't done anything wrong. Right. And this person is telling you that you are misbehaving, that you are making them crazy, that you're making them be mean to you. It was basically what he would say to me. So I said, you know what? I'm leaving, but I'm going to sleep first. And he wouldn't let me into our bedroom. So I was like, that's fine. I don't want to sleep with you tonight. So I was laying on the couch. Craigie stood over me for hours. I don't know why I laid there. I could have just gotten in my car, but I had cats and I didn't want to leave my cats behind. And I didn't know if I could bring them to my parents' house or where I was going to go with Cagney and Shoeless. And he stood over me telling me I was never going to find love, that I was delusional. And I was laying there thinking like any side of like, just, you know, if my confidence got shook, if I was like, maybe he's right. Maybe he's the only person who's going to love me. I was 21. I was 22 years old or whatever. I dropped out of grad school to become a stand-up comic. I had put my entire life on the line. I left a very, you know, safe, stable environment. And here was someone telling me that I was never going to find love, that I wasn't worthy of love, that I was lucky to have him in my life. He one time threatened to bring home other women because I had stopped.
He also sits in the dark smoking cigarettes, stands over you while you're asleep. Creepy. He is the creepiest. By the way, from the 224, your story of your relationship that was emotionally abusive sounds like a relationship I'm in right now. So the kind of, and part of the point you've said on the show before is to make people feel like they're not alone and maybe help them in a bad time. 224.
Yes, no. Please. If there's something we can do, if you want us to grab your information, if you want any advice, I know it's so hard because your friends do stop talking to you because they don't like the person that you're with. And this goes for men or women. Women can be abusive and make you feel like you're. And there is a thing where someone will ask, well, how can they make you feel that way? Because you love them or you think that you love them. And this great essay that I posted on my Facebook page, and I'll share it on our Patty V show. The last thing she writes is that she stayed because she thought she loved him until she realized she loved herself more. You have to realize that you love yourself more and that you don't deserve that. No one deserves to be told that they're worthless, that they are stupid, that they are cheating, especially when you know your reality and someone refuses to accept what you know in your heart, that you haven't done anything wrong, that you are not a bad person, and you know that you are worthy. And they keep telling you, though, and you just keep, you start feeling small and you feel isolated, you feel alone. And it's scary, too, if you're living with somebody, because now you're also depending on them. You've put a security deposit and like all the stupid small reasons. My cats. I stayed an extra month because of Cagney and Shoeless.
Well, and sometimes, too, obviously the relationship didn't start there. That's something that developed as you went. Sometimes it's hard to,
yes,
to realize when something new is entering into a relationship that this is an actual thing. This is actually a part of the new kind of dynamic, and it needs to be fixed or you need to remove yourself because of it. Sometimes it's hard to see that when you remember the past few months and they were better.
Well, or years. Like this woman said it was a year. What were you say, Sarah?
Well, yeah, and then you find yourself thinking, you remember back to the good times and you find yourself thinking, oh, it's this was just a fluke. It'll go back to the good times. Or
because and they do. The thing is that there can be huge gaps of time where everything is fine and then it happens months later or a year later.
Right.
And then, you know, and then you're like, oh, but I stayed and I put my time in. I mean, I've given you so much of myself.
Someone attempting to be in control would know that you can't always be one way. I've heard it a lot, and actually I experienced it through a close family relationship too, that sometimes they do. They break and they act very sweet and very nice, but that's just to reinforce
the control
aspect. Yeah. So it's hard to determine what's, you know.
Yeah, he was what I was drawn to, and the reason it was so good at first was like he made me feel like, I mean, and again, made me right, and I let him feel. I don't know what the right language is for it, because I just remember thinking, I just feel so powerful. He made me feel sexy and beautiful and intelligent. He made me feel like I was smart, and I was like the most captivating person. Like he held me up on his pedestal until he told me I was the sexiest woman he'd ever been with, and I was young, and I thought, wow. I mean, like, this is a guy who, you know, has been to New York, he's traveled the world and been in the theater and done all these amazing things, and he thinks that I'm amazing, and I was drawn to that, and we would, you know, and I remember we traveled, we drove in a car from here to Boston. He had property in Maine, and there were little things he would say, like he didn't like my dad because he was like, you know, the world will be a better place when people like your dad are gone. Like he said, I know. And that was one of the, because my dad was old. It was old Chicago. Like my dad, we talked about him before. Like my dad was part of the machine of Chicago. He knew like the right people and how to grease the wheels and get out of a ticket, or he knew the right politicians or the right lawyers. And he would tell me like how crooked my dad was. And then he told me about his grandfather owning this property in Maine and how his grandfather had taken advantage of all these poor people during the Great Depression and had gotten this property by basically buying it for cents on the dollar. And I was like, how do you figure that? And he was so proud of this cottage in Maine. And I thought, how do you figure that that's, you know, we all have something in our family that is, you know, maybe untoward, or, you know, our skeletons, but that's something you're proud of. And my dad should die, you know, it was one of those illogical things. And that was like one of the first threads. And that I remember thinking, this guy just told me the world would be a better place without my dad. Mm-hmm. And that sort of shook me.
Yeah.
And we had just signed a lease on an apartment, and so we were driving to Boston on our way to Maine, and he wouldn't turn the air conditioning on. I can't remember what it was, something like, you know, it wasn't good for the environment. It was really hot. It was the middle of summer, and I was sweating the whole, like, and I had the window down. I was just trying to cool off, and he refused to turn the air. It was like a weird control thing. Like I wasn't going to be comfortable. Because of the whatever it was, we weren't going to turn the air on.
By the way, from the 630, yet again, listening to you describe this story reminds me of my own story. Wow, it's creepy to hear someone else say things like this. So
yeah,
there's a lot of people out there.
It is abuse. It is abuse to feel, to have someone tell you you're not worthy, to have someone tell you that you're stupid, to isolate you, to break you off from what you know to be yourself. You have to love yourself more than that person.
A friend and I were actually, not in quite in this sense, but we were talking about this tonight. Like, you are your number one.
Yes.
And even if you are in a relationship where a great relationship, you're still your number one. You're the person you have to look out for in any situation.
Yeah.
And I can't relate personally.
And you don't have to. But you have friends, but be aware for your friends and be there.
But I do have friends that I can relate on their behalf.
And you have no idea. I didn't know how good of friends I had, because when I decided to leave, he came to where I worked and threatened to kill me and kill himself. And that's where I had to have friends step in, and I had to get the authorities involved. And I didn't know how much danger I was in until that day. More after this on 720 WGN. Have time for it. Hey, Craig, we don't have time for what we meant to get to, because we have Matt Bubala in the studio joining us. Sarah Barnhart is here as well. By the way, before we get to you, Matt, well, I mean, we can get to you. We've gotten to you.
Get to me. It's fine.
I'm getting to you. We have some tickets to give away for Sarah's show. What's one way for them to find you on Facebook and win tickets that way?
You can find me on Facebook. If you go
like
to
her page.
What
I actually don't have a page. But if you go to the Whip Theater,
mm-hmm.
The Whip Theater, it's not Whip, it's Whip. So WIP
mm-hmm.
Theater with an ER on the end. Like their page, scroll down, you'll find a poster for This Is the Worst. And if you want to comment on that,
I like it. Let me like it. It's the Whip Theater, WIP Theater. By the way, the theater is located at 6670.
I was right.
North Northwest Highway. Their number is 312-692-9327. And you can go to the whiptheater.com for more information about everything there. But go to their Facebook page and like This Is the Worst and for a pair of tickets that way. And also,
or they could just send a message to Patty V Show, facebook.com/Patty V Show. Yep. Send us a message and we'll hook up those sweet, sweet tickets.
Yeah, Patty V Show on Facebook or the Whip Theater on Facebook. And there you go. Matt Bubala.
Give a like to It's the Worst. This Is the Worst.
Give a like
and it
to
just
it
seems
the worst.
So contrarian, doesn't it?
But I know her show is called This is the Worst, and yet it's the best. It's so funny. What's coming up on your show, sir?
What's coming up on my show? Oh, you know what? Rich Lenkov. You know our Rich Lenkov?
Who does Rich Lenkov. At least he's if he was having Jason Whiteside on, that would be very funny.
You're taking our guests. Okay, fine. Right. Go ahead, Matt.
Everyone, Rich Lenkov does everyone's show.
Hey, man.
Yes. What's he talking about on your show?
We're going to talk about the iPhone thing and whether or not the government should be able to compel Apple to unlock the phone.
What do you think? Do you want to wait to your show? Do you not want to give away now?
No, it's okay. So I tweeted this earlier this week, and this is what I think. You know, I don't know. And but so earlier this year, all the presidential candidates, or at least Jeb Bush, they were answering the question, would you kill baby Hitler?
Well, I'm sorry. This came up to the candidates. Would you kill baby Hitler?
Don't you remember when that was a whole big thing earlier this year? Would you kill baby Hitler?
And what did they all say?
Are you serious?
Did they all say yes?
I don't remember.
But they're all pro-life.
Jeb Bush said he would kill baby Hitler.
I don't know.
It was a big deal at the time.
This is so confusing.
Now, is this knowing what Hitler was going like?
No, just a cute little baby you don't know on the street.
Why don't they?
Yes, of course. Well, knowing what he was about to do.
Couldn't they adopt him and raise him better than? Like, not let him become a wallpaper.
Any little baby down the street with that weird mustache, that's it. That kid's going down. I don't care what he's going to do. Assuming you knew what Hitler would do, would you terminate his life?
Couldn't you just raise him in a synagogue and maybe he wouldn't so much want to hurt people?
I don't know that people would want to take that risk. It was the basic question.
You're saying he was
going
to kill people
anyway. Would you stop that knowing what would happen?
And
Bush said yes, he would.
He would kill that baby.
But so I
want audio of of Jeb Bush saying he would kill that baby.
That sentence is
I think
intense.
It's out there.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if he said it like, I would kill baby Hitler. He might just said, yeah, I'd do that. He might only have that quote.
I hope he says that. I'd do that. Okay. So Apple, I don't know how this...
Toy.
Yes.
Don't drive
for at least 24 hours.
So I posed the question. So Tim Cook released this letter to all Apple customers this week defending and detailing the reasons why they're pushing back in this case and not wanting...
But haven't they released the information in 48 other cases? Apple has given access to other...
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I'll have to look that up beforehand. Rich says that they've done something like this before, but never anything like what they're being asked to do.
And in this case, it was the couple that killed...
The San Bernardino shooters, yes, and one of their iPhones they want to get into. And Apple is saying by doing this, basically it's a slippery slope. If we do this,
if
we create this way to get into the phone, then everybody's phones will be at risk because we've suddenly created a way that this can be done.
Okay.
And so I said, well, so what if it was Hitler's phone? What if it was, I know that sounds ridiculous.
This is a great argument to have about anything.
But
so what
think
if
about
were
it.
Involved?
Think about
I'm
it.
I'm so tired of Hitler.
40 million people
really
might die.
Just think about it.
Yes.
And you have this power. Then you say, no, we can't do this. Or you say, okay, well, in this instance, geez, I got to unlock that phone.
Where you could track him down. Like, right, if you have this phone, you're able to find him
or
in
his lair.
Or
maybe he's got the plans, and then you're able to shut the whole thing down. Save all these lives.
I don't know. How many times has Hitler come up this week in just regular conversation?
No, it's been a lot.
We've
been Hitler heavy.
I don't think you can stop there, though, and say save all these lives. And then, but think about how many other lives you could ruin in other ways by creating this.
Because Tinder, or what?
We're talking about the butterfly effect. That's a good. That's a good idea.
What other actions you set in motion by changing one element of history?
Yeah.
So you
adopt baby Hitler.
So hold on,
maybe
guys.
A worse guy comes out.
Instead of saving all these lives, we just be like, at least we know what we got with Hitler, and let's just let that happen.
Matt, this came up when you were filling in. Do you watch The Flash? Do you know what happens when you change history?
I still think no matter what, you stop Hitler.
If you watch The Flash, maybe a new Hitler 2.0 comes out.
If all we're doing is stopping Hitler and nothing else happening, of course I'm going to stop Hitler. I mean, I would want to stop Hitler regardless.
Right.
But I'm just saying.
I'm just saying,
there's no right or wrong answer.
You have no idea what's going to happen.
No, the right answer is always, I would stop Hitler.
Well, yes.
I think you just go there and then just let, because it's not real. So just for,
true.
Just for
Roger,
the
did
sake
you say
of
it was
talk,
a magic,
you,
the magic wand?
Hitler.
Was it a Hitachi
magic
wand?
It's the original.
Are you sure it wasn't the thunder stick?
You were so excited about that. It's so weird driving down here and hearing you do that conversation every week.
Oh,
I gotta say.
I can't hear. Why can't I hear Roger? Roger's trying to talk to me.
There you are. I'm sorry.
He's got his magic wand. It was the magic wand.
I love that it said not to drive for 24 hours. Okay, you got Rich Lenkov.
Did you find the right?
Maybe if Hitler had a magic wand, he wouldn't have been so angry.
Well, because he wouldn't be allowed to drive a truck for 24 hours.
See, maybe it would change his mind. More after this. Before Matt's show.